Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. Jeff Hornacek and Iowa State Day 2. We talked about it on yesterday's show. Would it be smart of him to leave the Suns? It's a very fair question to ask. Why is FIFA dominating the USA media, the cycle of media in the last, 48 hours nationally, has been all about the worldwide sport of soccer and the FIFA presidential election? Why are there four guys sitting around analyzing that? Because it's that big of a deal, and I'll tell you why as the show moves on today. The Diamondbacks are in Milwaukee for a series that is very important for a number of reasons. I'll get into that. And how would you feel about a Major League Baseball season that was split in half? 81 games determines a winner and a wild card. Second 81 games determines a wild card and a winner. They all meet in October. Two trade deadlines. Very interesting position taken by Ken Rosenthal that we're going to talk about on today's show as well. I'm Brad Sesmat, sports360az.com. That is our website. Plenty of content on sports360az.com. We are Arizona-centric. We'll have Craig Morgan on today's show. Always like talking to Craig, foxsportsnetarizona.com's Cardinal and Coyote Insider. He actually did a big national piece for foxsports.com on tonight's Game 7 involving the Rangers and Lightning on the ice and tomorrow's Game 7, Chicago at Anaheim. So we'll talk some hockey with Craig. And he's also been out at the Cardinals for OTAs. Goody at the Movies with us today. I saw where Bill was crabby yesterday on Twitter, like there's nothing good out. Well, fine, make something up. I mean, just talk about a movie from 20 years ago you liked. You don't have to tell everybody that it all blows that's out there right now. We're going to talk about the Entourage movie. San Andreas looks just dreadfully bad, just awful. That Bill wants to talk about, just horrible. And Aloha, which looks decent, but I wouldn't say it's anything over the top. Cameron Crowe directed that, who did Jerry Maguire and others, so it can't be that bad. So we'll talk with Bill. The Scripps Spelling Bee, I got to get into that with Bill, too. Why is it we have a national spelling bee and we finish in a tie for the second year in a row? I don't know. The dictionary's really thick. Just spread it open to the Z's and let's just keep going. You know, have these kids' heads explode. There was nothing on last night. So I'm watching the spelling bee and it's like, a tie? Again? For the second, did we run out of words? Is it just too much to ask, let's do another round coming from the X's?
They should have just dumbed it down. And at the end, when they ran out of words, just been like, okay, rock, paper, scissors. And watch these little kids' heads just explode. Like, what? What's rock, paper, scissors?
Can you put it in context? The end of you. The. Yeah. Seriously.
T-H-U, the.
Right. You're done. You're gone. I mean, instead, it's two kids holding up a trophy together. We do not want to have too much competition. We don't want to emphasize winning too much. So for 2 years in a row, we've run out of words. I don't get it.
It's like the old days of college football when you had like two winners because they split. Like you'd have the AP poll winner and the coaches poll. Two teams go undefeated. Yeah, great. We're national champs, kind of.
That's right.
We're co-national champs.
That's right. Let's get you caught up some things in my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience is as simple as this. So today, it's my drive up here through the 101, which is a nightmare coming from Southeast Valley up to Scottsdale. But I'm in my Ford Fusion Hybrid. I'm comfortable. I'm relaxed. I make a couple of phone calls. I'm on my satellite radio listening to great content across the country. I get in here to do my thing. From here, I've got meetings around town. Same deal. Get in my car. I'll be listening to my apps. I'll be listening to what's on my iPhone. I'll be listening to great stuff nationally on Sirius XM. And I'll do that as I make my way home. And then tonight I've got to run around to a couple things as well, a couple of events I'm speaking at. So I'm on the run a lot. I have to have a vehicle that makes a ton of sense for me. And for me, it is the Ford Fusion Hybrid, 52.6 miles to gallon as I came up here today and pulled in and checked it when I stopped and parked. The Ford Fusion Hybrid from Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. It works for me. It can work for you. The Santan Ford experience with General Manager Tim Hovick. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Craig Morgan here in about 15 minutes. So Jeff Hornacek, actually in about 9 minutes, my clock's fast. Jeff Hornacek to Iowa State. So Eric, let's you and I get into this one because on the surface, if here's how the dots would be connected. So Fred Hoiberg is the current coach at Iowa State. He recently had a heart surgery. Nonetheless, the Chicago Bulls fired Tom Thibodeau yesterday. Then they trashed Tom Thibodeau going out the door, making him sound like an evil ogre of all ways, shapes, and forms. Kind of like when Mark Jackson was let go up at Golden State. If Fred Hoiberg goes to the NBA, then all of a sudden Iowa State, Jeff Hornacek's alma mater, comes open. Jeff Hornacek in 2 years has a record of 87-77. He's 10 games above 500. Jeff Hornacek has 1 year left and then a team option. Here's the numbers you need to know. Jeff Hornacek, $2 million with the Suns. Fred Hoiberg making $2.7 million at Iowa State. Oh, so there's more money there on the college end than on the pro end. Ames, Iowa, where Jeff Hornacek is widely loved. Now, do you look at this job if you're Jeff Hornacek and say, yeah, I think that looks pretty good, assuming if Fred Hoiberg leaves? I would have to believe Jeff Hornacek would want to look at that job. Unless he says, you know what? The Suns have it all figured out. We're this close to winning an NBA title. I've put in a lot of sweat, a lot of blood. The organization has got this close, and I should stay and see this through. Now, do you see that happening in any way, shape, or form, if Hoiberg leaves?
No, I think he's going to really think about going, and he should.
That's it?
Well, it's not as black and white as everyone...
As I'm trying to make it out.
Yes, but in a way it is, because if... Right now, he's down in his son's office, and he's thinking, okay, well, last year the team quit on me. We're not sure where we're going. We're not probably going to be a top seed in the West. We're probably going to be right where we were. You know, at this time next year, am I going to be cleaning out my office instead of staying in my office? And if that's the case, he should go, because I always say it's a really good college basketball job.
All right, so if he were to go, and I agree with you, I totally agree with you that if you look at where he is right now and what's going on here in Phoenix, is it going to get any better than what it is right now? Are they going to be an eighth, a ninth, a tenth seed?
Because the room, Brad, is cluttered. I mean, you've got who knows what they're going to do with the Morris twins. You've got the 13th pick again. You still don't have a star player. There's whispers that Lon Babbie might be reassigned or gone, or, you know, there's just all this uncertainty.
Which, by the way, would be a good thing.
Well, yeah, but there's just all this uncertainty of
sure.
What does the future hold? You go to Iowa State, you've got a winning program, it's your alma mater, you know the school, you know the recruiting area.
Okay, so what's the downside of Iowa State?
Not much.
The only thing I can think of is I gave the NBA a try and it didn't work out. That's it. What's the downside of staying in Phoenix? You don't know what's going to happen in terms of assets coming your way. Do you think that there's any star player in this year's free agent class? I'm going to get to one in a minute, a potential. Do you really have that much say? Are you that pleased with the roster that's been handed to you the last 2 years? My point is have they treated Jeff Hornacek the right way as a coach? When you go to college, though, you have to deal with crazy parents. You do have to recruit. Is it easy to recruit to Ames, Iowa? They were pretty good last year, right? I mean, it wasn't like that they couldn't find players.
No, they're pretty good every year.
Yeah. So
because Fred Hoiberg just gets the 1 year transfers. He just lives by that.
Okay, so can Jeff Hornacek do that? Here's the thing. If Robert Sarver comes to him and says, you know, we got a year left, let's just tear this deal up because there's some stuff blowing around about you. And yeah, 2.7 for Iowa State, $2 million to stay here. We want you to stay here, Jeff. We want to keep you here long term. Now, are there fans that think that Jeff Hornacek is the greatest coach that the Suns have ever had? I don't know. I'm still kind of getting I don't get a whole lot of yes or no's on Jeff Hornacek, other than Jeff Hornacek is a link to the past, wildly popular player, and that's it. There's nothing that says over the top about this guy. Okay, and I like Jeff. I think he's done as good a job as he can do with what he's had to work with here in the way of talent or lack thereof or issues that have come up. Then it takes me over to Dwayne Wade. So Dwayne Wade can opt out of his Miami Heat contract in this offseason. He's taken pay cuts in the past. He's not going to give money back again. I'm just throwing his name out there because I don't see any recruiting opportunity here for the Suns. However, if he's looking to come west, if he's looking to get paid, if he's looking to win a title, he'll go to Cleveland. If he's looking to maybe go to Los Angeles to be with Kobe, that makes sense to me. If he's looking to go to New York for the New York spotlight and to set up his post-career by having all the marketing and everything there in front of him, that makes sense too.
But he's a Robin. He's not a Batman. And the Suns need a Batman. They don't necessarily need
a
Robin.
How many Batmans are there?
Not many. That's part of the issue.
Is DeAndre Jordan a Batman?
No, but he would be great here in Phoenix. Okay, he would solve a lot of issues.
Okay, so
I'd rather have DeAndre Jordan, a young DeAndre Jordan, than a back-end Dwayne Wade.
Okay, so what if you had both? What if you were the Suns and you said, okay, let's go get the two pieces that we're missing because we feel like we have enough ancillary parts or complementary parts in some people's minds. In my mind, they're mostly ancillary. I'm not saying that they'd be the first choice, the fifth choice, the 10th choice, the 20th choice. All I'm saying is if he becomes available, you have to aim high. If you're running a professional sports franchise, unless you're just doing this to make money and not win, if your goal is to just make money first, second, third, fourth, and not win, then you're very content to have the 13th pick every year.
And look at the buzz last summer created just with the whispers of the Suns maybe possibly rumored to make a run at LeBron. Everyone's like, LeBron! Now it's like, okay, well, we didn't get him, but at least there was at least some excitement.
But you waste time on that, too. You also start looking like a place that uses you. Remember the Cardinals for years and years became the place that, Joe Montana came here and used the Cardinals for leverage. You know, you don't want the Cardinals to become the place that the Suns have become the place that fly to Phoenix, have them wine and dine you, eat a full meal, burp a little bit on the way out, and say, yeah, thanks very much for playing. And, hey, the Suns just made me a $10 million more a year offer. Now what? It's of interest to me. I want to get over to the Diamondbacks real quick, too. So tonight they're in Milwaukee. I think this is a bit more important a series than others as the season has progressed. You know, the Diamondbacks have now dropped four of their last five, okay? They had the nice win streak last week. Four of those games came against a franchise that had a guy managing that had never managed before in the major leagues. So there was some fortune to that. They then took two of three from a very good Cubs team. They then went to St. Louis and found the way in two of the games with the bullpen to give it up. Let me go back on that. One of the games, bullpen gave it up. Last game, thrown away. A ball kicked around, okay? Tomas leaving some guys on base, too, in game number two. So Milwaukee's not very good. You have De La Rosa tonight. You have Hellickson tomorrow, and he's pitched better. You have Chase Anderson, who's pitched pretty well for themselves. You don't want to see this thing spin from a 4-5 into an 8-9, into a, you know, something like that where you come home next week, and you have Atlanta and the Mets next week. So this is a pretty big series for the Diamondbacks. And we'll talk more about that as the show moves on, too. On the other side, Craig Morgan will be with us, Fox Sports Net, Arizona.com's Cardinals Coyotes Insider. Later in the show, what if the baseball season were split in halves? Also, what's going on in FIFA in the World Cup? We'll have that, too. I'm Brad Sussman.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Craig Morgan joins us now, Fox Sports Net, Arizona.com, Cardinal Coyote Insider. It is a enormous night and couple of nights coming up here in the National Hockey League. Craig has actually written about this in fine fashion for FoxSports.com. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Brett?
I'm great. Other than I'm looking up and I'm seeing Sepp Blatter on every one of my monitors right now, which tells you the power of soccer worldwide and even American media companies realizing we have to get in on this piece of pie. This is bigger than the National Football League. There is something, not here in our country yet, but But there is something bigger out there, and that is Sepp Blatter, who I never heard of. If he walked into the studio right now and said, I'm Sepp Blatter, 3-4 days ago, I would have no idea who he is. None. Zero. Now he's the biggest thing out there. So,
what a mess that whole thing is, too.
Yeah, so I don't want to speak of messes in the Coyotes, so let's move over to tonight.
Okay.
And this seems to me, for the NHL tonight and tomorrow night, to be the rooting internally has got to be Rangers and Anaheim. Am I right?
Well, I don't know. You know, the Blackhawks are the marquee franchise in this league, and they always draw well in terms of ratings. In fact, they draw the best ratings, so I don't think the NHL would mind. If you talk to Gary Bettman, he will tell you, of course, publicly, we love all our teams. So, but yeah, in terms of media market, in terms of ratings, I think you want the Rangers in the Cup Finals. That would certainly help matters.
And the original six, yeah, you have Chicago in there too. Which would be the better series? Because I'll be honest with you, it's Game 7 with Lundqvist at home. They never lose Game 7s. The Rangers are going to win, in my opinion. But the other side of the draw, which would be the more competitive Cup series?
Well, I think both would be competitive. Look, the Blackhawks have tons of playoff experience. To be honest, I think that's the only reason they're in this series still. I think Anaheim has been the better team in this series, but they have so much savvy. The Blackhawks know how to win, and they have forced a Game 7. They have a good history in the playoffs. Anaheim obviously has had its struggles in recent Game 7, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But as far as matching up with the Rangers, I think either one of these teams would give them a great series.
What is Lundqvist's key? I mean, why is it when it's Game 7 and it's him, he never loses?
He's so remarkably poised to me, Brad, when I watch him. You know, you talk about goalies being on their game. You can see it when there's just that economy of motion. Just he always seems to be in the right spot. But he's got the right temperament all the time, too. He's just so calm and collected, and it just bleeds into the rest of the team. Now, I should point out also, the Rangers are a very good defending team most nights. I know they've had some crazy games down in Tampa, but this is a team that defends really well in front of them, so that helps as well.
Tonight, that will be the Rangers in Tampa Bay, and then tomorrow night, Anaheim in Chicago. What is going on with our hometown heroes on the ice here that you can report in terms of future and all of that?
Well, there's obviously a lot of different balls in the air right now, sort of waiting. I think everybody's in a holding pattern, waiting to see what this budget is going to look like, waiting to see how active they're going to be in free agency, what they're going to do in free agency. They obviously said publicly they have several needs. They probably need to sign a couple of centers. They need to add to their blue line as well, add more of a physical element, players who are hard to play against in their own end. But, you know, in terms of Dave Tippett's and Shane Doan's contracts, or their futures rather, again, those are both up in the air right now. I still think both of them are taking a wait-and-see approach. They want to see, I guess, some assurances. They want to see something fixed, that this is actually going to happen, that they're going to make the commitment this offseason to improve this roster so that they can compete for a playoff spot.
Okay, and how far are they willing to go? Because in terms of dollars, not with those two, but if you're going to go after the biggest of the biggest, do they have the wherewithal to do it? Or am I to believe the Canadian press, which continually trashes what's going on down here? I mean, who's being straight, who's not being straight in this?
Well, you know, look, the Coyotes had a bad season on the ice last year, and it certainly impacted their finances as well. It wasn't a great season for them. But if you look at what they have committed to the cap, Brad, they have a lot of work to do just to get to the cap floor right now. So they're going to have to be active in free agency simply to get there. They're not never going to be a cap team. They're never going to spend to the limit. But can they get closer to the middle of the pack? I think so. I think that is the plan. At least that's what they're saying. Obviously, if they're putting out there publicly, they can be called on it if they don't do it. So, again, that's what Tippett and Doan are waiting to see. I think that's what Coyotes fans are waiting to see, because we heard some of this talk last offseason and it didn't materialize.
What about their future in Glendale, which is always a concern and can always be smoothed over saying, well, they have a lease agreement and that's where it stands. I mean, I'm hearing all sorts of different things around their future over there.
Well, they have the lease agreement. As we know, Ian Hugh, one of the council members, the vice mayor, would like to challenge that legally, wants to get out of that agreement. That's not news exactly for people who have been around here. Ian Hugh has opposed this deal since it was voted in 2 years ago. Without a legal basis, it doesn't really matter if they can't find a reason to challenge it. They are conducting a compliance audit right now, expect to find out within the next couple weeks whether they found any legal basis. My sources are telling me there is no legal basis for it, Brad, so this could just be more political posturing. But we'll have to wait and see what comes out of that.
That's the Tony Tavares audit, right?
Yes.
All right. I mean, I've heard things like, would they play some of their games downtown in years to come in partnership with Arizona State with their hockey program if the Suns move? I'm being told don't poo-poo that as an idea. And I'm not one to just throw stuff up against the wall. I mean, I'm hearing these things around town.
Yeah, those rumors have been floating out there for a while. There's rumors that they would try and build another arena, you know, closer
where?
More in the East Valley, closer to the population base of the city, closer to the wealth base of the city. You know, the thing that they should have done initially,
sure,
if Steve Ellman hadn't made the decision he made, and if the city of Glendale, quite frankly, hadn't made the mistake of building that arena in the first place.
Could they go to talking stick with the Suns?
I don't know. I'm curious about that. Maybe you're talking about renovating that building and making it compatible for hockey?
Well, what I'm talking about is two different things. A, it's I'm hearing talking stick is all over the Suns to build them a facility. I've been told by two people that have seen models of a facility on talking stick ground that would be an NBA arena. Okay. Downtown, what I'm hearing is ASU, and Ray Anderson was with me 2 weeks ago and wouldn't deny it. He said he's open to all options.
Yeah.
That Arizona State's hockey program, which is not just a little college hockey program, there is enormous money being backed on that hockey program by one individual, that with the downtown ASU campus, would it be feasible to play weeknight games against the lesser opponents downtown, and on the weekends you play the Detroits and the Chicagos still out in Glendale? I don't think that's possible at all, yet people who are much smarter than I am saying don't be so closed-minded.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that's feasible too, Brad, that you're going to split between two arenas in terms of revenue, in terms
sure.
of pleasing the
no,
group.
I agree with
there's
you, Craig.
There's all kinds of issues there. You know, I've heard some of the same talk, but I've never heard anything really concrete at this point anyway. So I don't know what to make of those rumors other than to say at this point that that's all they are.
Do you believe that there are cities that on a phone call or two could take this team away? Is it not that simple?
It's not that simple, and here's why. And I say this over and over again. If the Coyotes wanted to relocate, if they reached that $50 million after 5 years in losses, which they could do very easily if they wanted.
They could do that in 2-3 years.
Yes, they could.
I mean, really.
If they want to get to that number, they'll get to that number, Brad. But this isn't in the Coyotes' hands. This is in the league's hands. And the league has plans for those other markets. And they're not exactly veiled plans. I mean, there are a lot of people expecting Vegas to announce an expansion franchise very soon. I think the same thing is going to happen in Seattle eventually. I just don't think that owners give up that kind of revenue. You know, you're talking about a minimum of $500 million in revenue for an expansion fee. I don't think they give up that kind of money to relocate a franchise instead.
All right, so you sound pretty convinced that they're dug in here no matter how bad it gets, that they're willing to look at some other parts of town.
Well, maybe they're willing to look at some other parts of town. You know, they would have to get out of the agreement. Could they use the out clause for that reason? Well, obviously, you got to get an arena built, and that's not an easy venture itself. So those are major hurdles to cross, and again, I don't want to fuel any kind of speculation on that at this point.
Is the city of Glendale overmatched in all this?
How do you mean?
Just business-wise, if they had to do it all over again, have they just stumbled and struggled through this whole process of even getting the building, getting the franchise where it is today? Do you think they wish they just wiped their hands and move on from this?
Oh, I think there are a lot of people that wish they had never built the arena in the first place. You know, the people that are there now aren't the ones that did it. And I think they realize the folly of it at this point. But, you know, at this point, now you have to decide between the lesser of two evils, right? You either leave that arena empty, and if they think they're going to fill that thing with events, they're insane. They've got so much competition in this town, and they're on the far west side. Let's face it, people aren't going to go there. So at that point, you need an anchor tenant. So the Coyotes, you know, they got to try and work this deal. They got to try and get revenue back from them. Outside revenues actually are improving for the Coyotes. If you saw some of my tweets last week, it's the product on the ice now that the Coyotes have to work. They need to get them revenues through that, through ticket sales, obviously, and other areas.
Talking with Craig Morgan, Man About Town, all sorts of things on his mind today, FoxSportsNetArizona.com. The Cardinals out at their camp, I don't get all wound up about backup left tackles clutching and grabbing in late May. It's just not my thing.
In shorts and no pads.
Yeah, shorts and no pads. I mean, it's nothing more than a photo op. That's about all that it is. And to keep them in the news cycle. But that said, is there anything that you deem that has been really newsworthy? I mean, real newsworthy stuff, in your opinion, that you've seen here, other than Carson Palmer testing out his knee?
Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm intrigued by David Johnson. I'm curious how he's going to fit into the run game. I think he could end up being their best pick of this draft when it all's said and done. He's a big guy. He has the tools to be a three down back. And you know, I don't want to make too much of the fact that he was practicing on the first field with the veterans the other day because I know they had an injury. But I think this guy could make an impact. Aside from that, wow, in terms of news, there's not a heck of a lot going out there. I'm still curious what Larry Foote's going to do, if he's actually going to coach and not play.
The linebacker, yeah. But what about Carson? Is there anything about Carson Palmer that you've taken from these workouts?
Well, the one thing that he talked about when we had him last week, I believe it was, or maybe it was earlier this week. I'm losing track of time. But
it was last week.
When he talked about his window of opportunity, he was so candid in that, and so was Bruce. It was just it's one of those stories where you just get out of the way and let the player and the coach talk. He said that he always thought that he was 100% committed to the teams he had played for in the past, but until this injury, he didn't realize that there was more to it, that he could be giving any more. He recognized how short the window is of opportunity for him. You know, he's in his mid-30s now. He's not going to play too many more seasons, so it's almost like he's redoubled his efforts at this point because he knows he's got 1, 2, maybe 3 years left in this league.
Yeah, well, I think the window of opportunity for the team, I've been saying this all offseason, is this year. The age factor at some positions is really creeping up, and I don't know if Larry's going to wake up Fitzgerald one day and just be done, and that can happen to players. And Carson is one big hit away again. It wasn't just the knee last year. People just want to say, oh, he'll be fine from his knee. No, he missed other time too. So he's fragile. He is fragile. I don't want to use the term brittle. That sounds too harsh. He's fragile.
Obviously, you would say that with just about any NFL team. You lose your starting quarterback, you're in a world of hurt. It's just not going to be the same kind of season or expectations when that happens. But yeah, at his age, I think we all recognize it. And you go back to last season, Brad, the way they started and how things all set up for them, that rash of injuries they had, it just felt in some ways like that might have been the Cardinals' best opportunity last season.
No, I agree with you on that. Anything else around town that's of interest to you? I called you the man about town, so, I mean, don't screw this up. Anything else that's really caught your eye?
I'm pretty focused on the things that I have to cover. So between the Coyotes, Cardinals, and the NHL playoffs right now, I'm
you're swamped.
Yeah, I'm swamped.
I got you. Stay well. Thanks for the time.
All right, Brad. Take care.
You got it. Craig Morgan, FoxSportsNetArizona.com. Goody at the Movies is in about 10 minutes. Do we have to talk Entourage, really? I love the series. The movie just looks god-awful. Just dreadful. As a fan of the series, I can't see pulling myself together to go watch it. Other than Mark Wahlberg is involved in the project, the rest of it just like, oh.
Worse than San Andreas and Aloha?
San Andreas is fine. That's a body count movie. Here's
oh,
the
great.
Thing on that.
Oh, great. Another rock action film.
The thing on San Andreas is, growing up in California, you want to see the Queen Mary get tipped over by a tidal wave. Who doesn't? It's great. When I say body count movie, it's like seeing Commando or Rambo movies. You just say, oh, there's 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. There's just 30 people wiped out in this one scene. That's all it is. It's fine. It's a guy thing. It's coming up in a few minutes. On the other side, we're going to talk about baseball splitting up the regular season into two 81-game components and if that would work. I think it's intriguing. Plus, a little bit more about what's gone on your TVs today around FIFA, because that's all that is on today and the last couple days, and why that is important worldwide. I'm Brad Sussman. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, although I'm going to get to this split baseball season coming up after Goody, it is time for Bill Goody-Kunz, Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, media critic, who was just a grumpy, just nasty, spiny guy yesterday on social media. There's nothing good out there. It's just a horrible weekend. And I'm thinking, lighten up. So it's one of those bad weekends. It's fun.
Yeah.
Some people may want, you were grumpy. What is that all about?
I got to watch, as you know, I have to watch a lot of movies. I like it when occasionally one of them is good. I don't ask for a lot, but there's some good stuff coming up, but it ain't happening this weekend. Actually, the things about this weekend, they fall kind of into two categories. Like San Andreas, to call it bad is, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know what it is.
Yeah.
It is a giant, humongous, all the buildings fall down movie where Dwayne The Rock Johnson is an L.A. search and rescue helicopter pilot who is basically Superman. Nothing can defeat him. And you know, it's one of those movies where, you know, millions and millions of people have to die so that these six people we care about can survive. And you know, but you don't really see, I mean, you only see one death, and that's kind of a plot point, but maybe a couple. But it's stupid, but this is the truth. And I did not see this in IMAX. I didn't see it in, you know, I did see it in 3D, but I had a headache at the end of it, man, because it was, like, thunderously loud. But, you know, if a 200-story building is falling down, it's probably going to make some noise. So.
Come on, sure. It's earthquakes. It's body. How many people do you estimate died during this on screen? It's a body count movie. That's what it is, Bill. That's
it
fun.
Is body count. And you got to figure how many people, I don't know how many people live in L.A. and how many live in San Francisco. And poor old Bakersfield, they're in there somewhere, too. They kind of take it on the chin, but not, you know, nobody seems to really care. The millions, I mean, right? I mean, if all of downtown Los Angeles collapsed on itself,
yeah,
I've got to believe at least a million people would die. The same with San Francisco. And you know, all up along the fault line. And it's one of those ridiculous things where, like, Paul Giamatti, who's a great actor, he's in there as this, like, seismologist who's, you know, been sort of warning people about it. And so, you know, they try to pretend like, oh, we have a little science in there. And it's just ridiculous.
The Queen Mary. That was great seeing the Queen Mary. We just saw that on the trailer. It's beautiful. Boat gets thrown into the ground. It's fine.
Yeah, it comes running after you. I mean, I don't know. And it's ridiculous, but it's meant to be ridiculous. So, I mean, on that front, it's kind of hard to criticize it because it does what it set out to do. It makes a lot of noise, and it'll probably make a lot of money.
Do you ever want to go to a theater and interview the people that are about to walk into that and say, "What are your interests in life? You know,
why are you here?
How much college education did you have, anyways?" And
there's no requirement. I'm not elitist or anything. I don't care. I mean, people can do what they want to do. I just don't want to see it again. And I can't imagine. I mean, it is exhausting. I don't know. And I've heard from people, you know, I always put my reviews and stuff up online, and you get these comments and stuff. And I guess a lot of people in the Bay Area and in L.A., they really don't want to see it because they feel this stuff all the time. And they, you know, they don't want to be, you know, somebody was saying not too long ago, there was a pretty sizable tremor while a bunch of people were at a BART station in San Francisco. And I don't, you know. They're like, we've felt it in real life. We don't need to see it here.
No, I get it. Good eat the movies with us. All right, Aloha. So I see that Emma Stone and Bradley Cooper are in it, that Cameron Crowe directs it. I'm thinking, well, this has got to be pretty good.
Bill Murray's in it?
Bill Murray's in it? Yeah, I mean, it's got to be pretty good, right?
It's awful. And
it's awful.
Really,
what are you talking about? It's awful.
It's just really disappointing. I mean, it's one of those things where I love Cameron Crowe. I've told you before. I've talked to him a couple times.
Yeah.
The first time he was so friendly, I think that he thought I was someone else that he knew. But then that's what I thought. But it turns out he's just a nice guy. But he's made some great movies. Say Anything is a great movie. Jerry Maguire is a great movie. Almost Famous is a really great movie. But occasionally he misfires, and that's what's happened here. Now, the first clue that things were bad was it was supposed to come out in December when all the big name, you know, the glamour pictures come out. They moved it to, you know, the end of May, which is not a good sign. It's one of those movies that you go into and you feel kind of like you're missing something. Like you feel like you walked in 20 minutes late, you know? And it's like, what's going on here exactly? And it doesn't make that much sense. The dialogue is horrible, which is really weird for Cameron Crowe. There's this point where Bradley Cooper is kind of running through this field with Emma Stone. And it's about to rain. Of course, it's Hawaii. It's all lush and gorgeous and all that stuff. And they're arguing about something. And he turns around to her and he says, "Look, I go hard and I go long, and sometimes I break things." And I was just like, I laughed out loud. I was like, "Are you serious? did you really just say? Did you just say like the biggest cliche in the like movie?" And you know what happened to you know, I gave her my heart and she gave me a pen. You know, I mean, the guy can be great, but not this time.
All right,
it's really disappointing.
All right, another dud. Now I liked Entourage the series. I have to tell you that looking at this coming out, I know you talked to Kevin Conley, it says here in my notes, but looks just dreadful, just painful to go sit through Entourage. Is any good?
Really?
It looks dreadfully bad. Other than, no, not
I'm
even other
why
than.
I'm curious why you think that, because it is basically what it is a two-hour episode of the show.
The show grew old.
And so did they, and that's one of the things. You know, I was, you know, like you said, I talked to Kevin Conley, and I was looking, and I always kind of look up their bio information. He's like 41 or something. I thought, holy cow, I thought he was like 30. I am curious about how it'll play. It is very much like the show. I mean, these are guys that, except for this time, Vince wants to not only star in a movie, but he wants to direct. And Ari has gotten his own studio, and he wants him to star in the movie. He doesn't necessarily want him to direct, so there's all this stuff with him. But basically what it still is these four guys living this hedonistic lifestyle that, you know, just never stops. And I'm curious to see how that plays. Now that some of the audience has presumably gotten older, gotten married, settled down, you know, it's not still going to the same kind of parties where they drop ecstasy in your drink all the time. You know, they sure probably drop Alka-Seltzer in your drink. You know, I mean, and so I'm curious to see how that plays out. But I've got to believe it. I mean, if you like the show, you'll probably like the movie.
Well, Mark Wahlberg directed this, right? Or produced?
No, Wahlberg didn't direct it. The same guy, Doug Allen, who created the show with Wahlberg and directed most of the shows, directed it.
Okay, but Wahlberg's involved, right?
Wahlberg, Entourage is basically based on Mark Wahlberg's life.
Yeah.
And he's the Vince character. And he, evidently what happened was, and I remember when I was a TV critic when this show started, and they all came to the TV tour, and they said, this hangers-on said, you know, we do some pretty hilarious stuff. We ought to just film it. And the one thing led to another, and they ended up with this really successful TV show. And so Vince is sort of loosely based on, you know, Mark Wahlberg and his career in Hollywood.
It's 11 years ago. I mean, the series started in 2004, so you're right, though.
Yeah.
You know, they've grown old.
But I tell you, the secret weapon, they still have Kevin Dillon. And the good thing is that Johnny Drama has not learned or matured one bit since we last saw him. And if he had, that would probably be a shame. But Kevin Dillon is always for mine. And I actually like Connolly, too. I think without the sort of grounded one, none of it works, because they would all just sort of float off into some drug haze or something. I'm still thinking about it. There's no reason to see it if you're not a fan of the show. That is definitely true.
Yeah.
This is not the way to introduce yourself to Entourage. Although I saw in some of the marketing stuff, you know, the first thing it said was, even if you've never seen the show, you know, and it's like, well, if you haven't seen the show, I don't really see you going to the movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking of taking my 10-year-old to go to the screen of Insidious, just, you know, jack him up for the rest of his life. It's coming
don't,
out.
Well, don't.
What is the next great movie then in the next few weeks? I got about a minute left. What's the next one you have to see if you're watching this segment? It's like, all right, is there anything really, really good coming?
Next Friday, you want to go see Spy.
All right.
And so Melissa McCarthy, and she finally gets a movie that is worthy of her talent. It is. I went in there with like the lowest of expectations, because the greatest she is, when she's tried to be a star, they've given her some pretty crappy stuff to work with. This movie is fall down funny, hilarious.
Spy.
And dirty as all get out. But that's when she's at her best, when she does this insult comedy. She and Rose Byrne, they were in Bridesmaids together, and they just go off on each other for like 20 minutes. And it's hilarious.
All right.
And it's nice where it's one of those spoofs, too, where they actually like the genre, the spy movies.
We'll talk about it next week. I look forward to that. And
alrighty,
you know, lighten up a little bit. Jeez, I mean,
you're right.
It's just just bodies being crushed in San Andreas. It's not real here in Phoenix. You know,
none
over there, growing
real
up over there, it's real. I got you.
I'm okay. Thankfully, none of this stuff is real.
I know. See you later. Get out of here. There's Bill Goodikins. Good Eat the Movies. Is there anything we want to see now, Eric? After that segment,
Yeah, well, I want to see Entourage. I don't know why you were trashing it.
It's just like the
TV show. I love the TV show.
The TV show by the end was just...
Yeah, by the end, it kind of lost a little off its fastball.
I got it.
It's gone away for a little bit, so we're all excited that it's back.
All right. Newly Married, you want to see Entourage.
No, my wife wants to see it more than I do.
I see. Yeah. All right. So on the other side, we're going to try this. Can we do the still that we screwed up in the last segment again? We'll do that in the next segment, all right? Very seldom does this show just completely blow up.
Oh, no, more often than not, just behind the scenes.
But when it does, it's great. I've been teasing this splitting baseball for 30 minutes now, and people are just probably done with me because of that. But we'll get to that on the other side, too. Sports360AZ.com, plenty of content up online. High school, college pros, things that we see around Arizona, a little bit different than everyone else. We partner with AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman.